welcome you into a delayed edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I am your host, Daniel Shoptoff. C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter, and with me is Tara Wellman from Birdseeds, Birds on the Black, at Tara Wellman on Twitter, and we've got Tara back from her Utah sojourn, and so we did this on Monday night as the Cardinals are playing the Braves. But, you know, last time we spoke, Tara, we were a lot more probably optimistic than things have turned out this week as the Cardinals lost. Well, they beat the Pirates 2 out of 3, but then they lost 3 of 4 to the Dodgers, and in fashions that were, well, looked like a football game had broken out on Saturday. How, you know, you're tied with the last wild card spot with 12 games to play, but how much of a gut punch really was this last week?
It was, I think, I've been trying to figure out the best way to put it into context, because the run in August was unsustainable. We all knew that that was the case. The journey to get to where we're almost disappointed that they're not in, you know, a place to take the division, it brings a little bit of perspective with it, I think. You know, I tried to make this point in a simple way on Twitter the other night, and I'm not sure it was received as intended by at least a few argumentative folk, as tends to happen on the Twitters.
That does happen occasionally.
But the point was that, look, if you had told us in June that this was a team that was going to be tied for a wild card spot the second week in September, we probably would have been thrilled with the result of whatever that journey was to get there, because it at that point in June, even July, we felt like it was going to be a miracle for this team to be able to pull that off. To some degree, that part of the story doesn't go away just because they've climbed back into a position where the postseason is a reasonable expectation at this point, or at least a reasonable hope, because they've come from a place where it was going to be a miracle. That said, that gives a little bit of context, a little bit of perspective to the last week. It does not eliminate the frustration of watching them, you know, climb all the way back to a couple of times really reinserting themselves in the division conversation, only to then nearly fall out of a playoff spot altogether. But I keep going back to this. That's the challenge of trying to play playoff baseball from the middle of July through the end of the season. That's really, really hard to do and hard to maintain, especially when this last month of the season, the Cardinals are essentially playing the teams that are also trying to claim one of those spots. So, a brutal week as far as morale is concerned, at least until, thankfully, Adam Wainwright did the unexpected and turned that around. But it does sort of bring back into perspective that this was always going to be a really, really tough go for this team to put themselves in postseason contention, and that part of the narrative hasn't changed, despite the August that was so exciting for everyone.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at this, I pull it back up, and, you know, just not to say this is why, but this is just an easy way to market. You know, the night that Mike Matheny is fired, the Cardinals are 1 game over .500, they're 4 games out in the wild card. They're chasing team, you know, Philadelphia was ahead of them, Atlanta, the Dodgers, the Rockies, the Giants. Remember back when the Giants were playing good? I mean, all this stuff, and it was like, yeah, the Cardinals are going to play better, but there's so many teams ahead of them that there's just no way they can get into this. And then, you know, then August happens and they, you know, win just about everything in sight. And now we think that's the new normal. And I think that's somewhat, you know, a factor of how we, I don't want to say it's how we fan these days, but it is the sort of attention fan. You know, if the team is terrible in April, they're going to be terrible all year long. And then when they're great for 2 weeks, they're never going to lose again. And then they're terrible for a week, and what is this team? You know, and it's, you know, and that's, we do ride those roller coasters, especially because we are able to follow it so closely now, and, you know, with Twitter and you know, every game on TV and knowing all this stuff, it's a little bit easier to get lost in the current moment without looking at the bigger picture. So you're right. You got to the point where you're playing meaningful baseball the last 2 weeks of the season, and that's, to some degree, I mean, I get it. The team is, should be built for more. You should be competing for a division. You shouldn't be hanging on by your, you know, fingernails to a spot right now. But again, you're not the Giants. You're not the Orioles. You're not in, I mean, not even the drastically bad teams. You're not even those mediocrely bad teams like Pittsburgh. That's really not in the conversation anymore. You're there. So we've got to enjoy that part, I think, at least. It is going to be frustrating because of the way the journey was. You know, if you battle all summer long and just came short, then oh well. But, you know, when, like you said, within 2.5 games of the division at one point, if you fall out after that, then it's like much more disappointing, I think. But what wasn't disappointing, unless you're a person that doesn't understand what Adam Wainwright means to the organization, not that I'm pointing out any names or anything, is the fact that Adam Wainwright had an amazing game last night. 6 innings, scoreless innings. It really looked like Adam Wainwright of old. I guess the question is, I know he doesn't get a chance to do much more this year. He's probably got another couple starts lined up. But is that sustainable? Are we going to see that again, or is it, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be scoreless inning every time out, but is he going to be good Adam Wainwright, or is he going to be the Adam Wainwright that has been around the last couple of years?
Well, you know what he's done is set a new level of expectation, just like August did for the team. Now, all of a sudden, anything less than that from Adam Wainwright is going to be, uh-oh, he's fallen apart again.
Yep.
The good thing to me is that in his first start back, he was okay outside of really an inning, but you could tell he was fighting it. You could tell it was a struggle. You could tell it wasn't quite where he wanted it to be. We've seen that version of Adam Wainwright for a couple of seasons now, where you get to, you know, 5 or 6 innings in and he's given up, you know, a run or 2 or 3, and you kind of go, huh, I didn't really think he was going to make it that far. And that's fine, but that's not what Adam Wainwright needs to be to really provide value to this team, because we've seen in the last couple of weeks there are plenty of guys who can be just fine and sort of do Colton Wong just hit a home run, so we need to just
because
take
he
a moment
knew that we were recording and he had to. I mean, it's been a big Colton Wong day.
It has.
It's good because he needed it. We'll get to that in a little bit, I promise.
We can circle back to that. I just wanted to, you know, savor the moment.
Absolutely.
But Adam Wainwright. So to me last night, it was good to see. And to be clear, I didn't actually see a whole lot of the game. but what I did see, and from every indication and the highlights and the way people have talked about it since then, this wasn't a game where Adam Wainwright struggled through 6 innings. It was a game where Adam Wainwright was in complete control. And that is the version of Waino that can lead this team, even if it's not from the ace position. If he can be that Adam Wainwright and get through 5 or 6 innings, even if he gives up a couple of runs, but never really looks like he's losing it, that's when he has the most value to this team, because that's when he can, I mean, you saw it every time he came off the mound after a big strikeout, every time you saw him sitting in the dugout, he was in a zone that we haven't seen from Adam Wainwright in a very long time. And that can be an incredible weapon for this team, even if it's just a couple of starts, through the end of the regular season and see what happens from there. But man, a good Adam Wainwright, we said this since the beginning of the year, a good Adam Wainwright makes this team significantly better. It's just a matter of how consistently are you going to get good Adam Wainwright.
I do wonder, you know, we saw in 2015 that he came, you know, had the Achilles injury, came back as the reliever, and was very dominant there in September. You know, continuing to stretch out to the point that if the Cardinals had gotten past the Cubs, there was talk about him having a start, you know. I wonder if the short time span here, it helps. You know what I mean? That he can come out and just say, I've only got three starts this season. I'm just going to do everything I can to focus and give every ounce of energy I have, knowing that there's that you don't have to stretch it out throughout the whole year. You don't have to worry about, you know, what is this team going to look, how am I going to pitch this team in next month or 2 months from now or whatever. You can just go out there and focus. And I don't know. It may have just been, you know, him finally getting back into shape, but it is interesting to see this after a couple of years of mediocrity, from Adam Wainwright. So it is. It's huge to get that. And especially now, as you said, this rotation is not what everybody thinks it is. Because there was the argument, right, that Adam Wainwright went out and he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings, and people were like, well, he can't throw, have another start. If you're going to put him another start, you're just ruining it. And then you look and Austin Gomber gives up 7 and 3 innings, and then you get John Gant, who gets charged with 6 in less than 5. And, you know, if your name's not Jack Flaherty in this rotation, you're not really anything special at the moment. And part of that's hitting a wall, and part of that's the league catching up, and part of that's just, there's a whole lot of factors to that. But Adam Wainwright, especially since they've stretched it out to 6 innings, a 6-man rotation here, is not holding anybody back.
Yeah.
And indeed, even in his worst start, is one of the better ones that we've seen over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not entirely surprising to see these young arms, whether it's hitting a wall or whether it's, you know, being less of an unknown because of the number of starts they have at the big league level now, or if it's pitching this late in the year or pitching in under pressure that is unfamiliar. All of those things come into play when you start to fill your rotation with guys who've never been there before, guys that were realistically not supposed to be there now. And the same can be said, I think, for the bullpen. You've got guys in situations that they're not entirely comfortable with or familiar with, guys who haven't pitched this late into a season before. And one of the things that made August so spectacular was those young pitchers completely outperforming expectation, when they sort of came back to earth a little bit, when they sort of saw the league adjust to them, or whatever the case is, may be for each of those guys individually. You know, you start to see the risk in putting so much in the hands of a young pitching staff. I think that's really going to be the biggest challenge through the rest of the regular season. Granted, the offense has kind of gone missing on a couple of occasions in the last couple of weeks, but that young pitching staff is going to have to find a way to step up and get it done, without, you know, putting the offense in such a big hole to start with. And that's going to be where having someone like Adam Wainwright, who can come in, even if he doesn't throw a complete game shutout, but can just sort of right the ship, to use a very overused cliche, that's going to be huge for all of these young guys who are in uncharted territory.
To be fair, if you're talking about Adam Wainwright, you should say right their wagon, since that's what Wainwright means.
So, true.
You know.
True.
If you want.
Gotta get my metaphors correct.
Right. I mean, nobody would understand that, because you're supposed to say right. Ship, but, you know, who's ever understood us anyway? So. Okay, well, let's not get too far down the rabbit hole before we talk about Colton Wong, because I then get chastised when we don't. Colton, what, a double earlier today, drove into, just hit a home run. And that's, I mean, I wrote about it this morning in my recap post. You know, Colton had hit before today. He was hitting 192 after he came off the disabled list. And the glove has been there. He's definitely still made great plays. But the bat seemed to still need something, and it felt like he wasn't quite right at the plate. He was trying to bunt a few more times than I think he probably should have. Is that just getting, you think he's getting back into the groove, or is there something going on with Colton?
You know, he came off the DL and then also acknowledged that there were some physical issues that he was going to have taken care of in the offseason. A knee, I believe. So I was a little concerned that was going to, sneak back into, the production or lack thereof. But you know, the greatest thing, and I know that coming from me, it may not mean that much at this point. But the greatest thing about watching Colton this season has been his improved ability to completely separate what happens defensively from what happens offensively. And I know for some people that's never going to be enough because they want the same sort of magic at the plate that he can provide in the field. That's a really rare thing to come by, someone who's that good, you know, in both facets of the game. But all too often for Colton over the course of his career, he's been his own worst enemy in that, you know, a struggle in one aspect of the game bleeds into the struggles in on the other side of that. This year he's done such an incredible job of being able to separate the two. And, you know, we've talked a lot that the manager may have something to do with that. And, you know, the way that he's gone about his business has been, almost independent of that for most of the year. But whatever it is that he's done has allowed him the space to continue to be successful and to continue to be an important part of the team's success, whether he's struggling at the plate or not. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously nice to see the offense come around. He was on a really nice roll right before he hit the DL. It was a tough break as far as the timing is concerned. Not that there's ever really a great time to be injured, but the point remains. He hasn't quite built back up to that level offensively. But at the same time, you know, he's come up big in some pretty clutch moments. You'd obviously like to see that happen more consistently, but not everybody's going to be your three-hole hitter. And for Colton to do what he's done in the role he's been asked to play, I think nights like tonight are just a little extra special when he drives in pretty much all the offense, save for a bases loaded hit by pitch in the first inning. So it's all there. I think what people are seeing now is that, you know, if he can stay healthy and have maybe a full year without an overbearing manager breathing down his neck, maybe we'll finally see what the potential really is for Colton Wong. But he's an exciting player who also can hit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be, I mean, it is interesting because you get into this offseason and, you know, that's still a ways off, hopefully, but there's going to be talk about how do you make this team better. And, you know, I feel like in the past we've always looked at second base as a possibility. It's like Colton is good, but you could upgrade. And obviously you could still do that, but I think it's harder to come by. I think there's easier spots to make this team better if Colton can, you know, get on a regular basis.
I think, again, you know, this is, I don't know where my credibility lies on the Colton Wong issue at this point, but, yes, you could improve offensively at second base. I don't know that you're going to get much better defensively than what you've got in Colton Wong if he's healthy and playing every day. And you can't eliminate that in the process of trying to figure out how to make the team better, because sure, if you add more offense at the plate, but you take it away defensively, you know, what have you really accomplished? So Colton Wong is one of the best second basemen in baseball this year, and that's not me talking. That's the numbers, that's the analytics, that's the experts who, you know, actually get to make those determinations. And I think that can't be overlooked as you sort of figure out who this team's going to be moving forward, and the defense that he's provided up the middle. I mean, just look at what happened to the defense up the middle when he was out. It was pretty atrocious. So, you know, that's obviously where the conversation starts with Colton Wong, and then you see what the offense needs from there.
Well, and we've seen throughout what the team has put out there, how often they have sacrificed defense for offense and what that has done for this team. And, you know, that was a thing that was kind of changing a little bit before the managerial change, and it's definitely been that way since Mike Schilt took over, was the idea that there's going to be this emphasis on defense. And, you know, that's why you can see a Harrison Bader playing out there, even though, I mean, he's not out there tonight because he really is kind of struggling at the plate, but, you know, he can play center field very well, and that helps. Mm-hmm. And the same with Colton. You know, if you can get offense at a high level, that's even better. But you're right, to try to you know, especially if you're, when you got these young guys that may be getting ground balls, you want to have that kind of glove behind them. So,
and again, not to, you know, just dwell on this forever, but I also think it's important, that we talk about, you know, what the expectation is of a guy who's hitting 6th through 8th in the lineup. I mean, he's not there to be your offensive powerhouse. You know, if there's a role conversation about where that offense is supposed to be coming from, it's not the guy who's hitting 7th or 8th in your lineup. And that's where Colton has been a lot, not necessarily all the time since Schild took over. But, you know, I think there's this idea that Colton's offense should match his defense, and that would make him the middle of the order superstar that this team has been missing. And I don't know that that's ever really been a fair case to make as far as who Colton profiles to be, but I think just the consistency is what's been missing for him, and he was really on a good roll there, like I said, until the injury came about. And I think the conversation gets a little skewed when the team overall needs offense, perhaps. And then, you know, you look at Colton's inconsistency and think that that's the best place to improve. But, you know, that's also coming from a place of me feeling like there's perhaps more value, in Colton Wong than most people do. So again, I'm not sure where my credibility lies on the issue.
Everybody that listens regularly can make their own judgments. So, on that one, cause they know all the facts with you and Colton Wong. One guy that hasn't had that issue, at least not in the last few weeks, is Marcell Ozuna, coming back off the disabled list. Has, I believe what I saw, 9 home runs in like 20 something games. Has, you know, and all year we've seen Ozuna be productive in the idea that he can drive in runs, but they're usually with, you know, a single here and a single there. There wasn't a whole lot of extra base hits with it. Now we're starting to see that power that we thought that the Cardinals thought they were going to get. In fact, I think he's got 23 home runs on the season or something like that. I think that's big. I mean, I guess you still kind of try to figure out what you have for next year, but this team has needed that punch all year long, and it seems like now they might be getting it at just the right time.
It's amazing how much more productive a guy can be on the power front when he can use both arms.
That does help, yeah.
It's weird that would be a thing, but, you know, it might sap some of your power, like we saw with Matt Carpenter last year, if you can't swing without your shoulder hurting. I honestly think that's been the biggest thing all year for Ozuna. There were some, you know, weird mechanics issues that perhaps no one detailed more specifically than Zach Gifford did early in the season, but I think the fact that he went on the DL, the fact that he got a cortisone injection in the shoulder, and now all of a sudden he has his power back, is a pretty clear indication that the shoulder was the primary issue all along. So I think the biggest thing for Ozuna in the offseason is going to be figuring out that shoulder situation and what the best course of action is there. The Cardinals don't have the greatest track record in making decisions on such injuries, but you know, they've seen what he can be when the shoulder's not bothering him, or at least not as much, and that's going to be a key factor as they move forward. I think we all sort of questioned the timing of, well, why did you wait till now for Ozuna to go on the DL with the shoulder issue? But I think, you know, it may work out. It may pay off for them in that, you know, when Matt Carpenter is suddenly, well, not as magical as he was a month ago, somebody else needed to step up. It's not Jose Martinez right now. It's not Matt Carpenter. It's, you know, Ozuna's been the one to provide that punch, and if it's because he took that time to take a little bit of a step back and get a little bit, I don't know if healthier or just less in pain is the more accurate description there, but the timing seems to have been good to put him in a position to contribute in a big way in the stretch run. And then, as you mentioned, it's going to be an interesting conversation over the offseason if they think they can take care of that shoulder enough to put him in a position to be that successful over the course of a whole season.
You touched on the topic that I wanted to kind of maybe wrap the show with, and that is Matt Carpenter. It's very interesting how we're going to think of Matt Carpenter as the MVP candidate, which he still is. He still leads the league at home runs, as far as I know. But you know, we know how his season started. We know it's the first month and a half he was hitting 140. In the last month, it was hitting, 235. He's only got a couple of home runs, and it seems like maybe he's overdosed on salsa. I don't know. either that or maybe that he's stretching it too thin and selling it to Schnucks. I don't, whatever the case might be, you're just not seeing that right now. And that kind of leads to some of the offense has not been as good as it was in that stretch run, and that's a big part of it, because if Matt Carpenter is leading off and Matt Carpenter's got a whole bunch of 0-for-4s, that's a difficult thing to overcome.
Yeah, you know, the Dodgers are, I feel like, a tough matchup pitching-wise for the Cardinals. I say that, and the Cardinals handled the Dodgers in L.A. earlier in the season, but nonetheless, the offense seems to be pretty all or nothing when it comes to playing LA, for whatever the reason is there. Matt Carpenter is sort of the same way. It's so hard to kind of maintain perspective in baseball, I think, especially, like you said, with the access that we have to it every single day, with every single game, with, you know, all of the content we could possibly want, and then some, to maintain a little bit of perspective, because, if you look at Matt Carpenter's season as a whole, it's still pretty remarkable what he's been able to do and how he's been able to impact this team. To put himself in the MVP conversation is pretty stunning when you consider the way that his season started. But it's difficult to watch that guy who seems to be the driving force of the team's offensive success, it kind of hit a wall again, and watch the offense do the same. So we've talked about this before, and in fact, I believe when we did our preseason predictions, Matt Carpenter for me was the most important part of this offense because of that, because they sort of seem to go as he goes, not necessarily because I thought he'd be the team's the league's best hitter by the end of the season, but because the way Matt Carpenter goes seems to have a direct correlation to the way that the rest of the offense goes, not every night, but I think just in general. So when he goes cold, it seems like that's when the Cardinals offense, fails to put up runs in consecutive games. And, we saw that against LA this week. And, Matt Carpenter is going to need to contribute, maybe need to spend a little less time, promoing that salsa with Schnucks. I'm kidding, by the way, please don't. That's not a thing to get worked up about. But the point is the magic of the salsa appears to have worn off a bit. Whether it's because, you went public with it or not. And I think Matt Carpenter is still going to be fine. He's still going to, be in that conversation. But if he wants to make a run at that MVP case, he's going to need to step it up the next couple of weeks, especially when you're talking about playing teams that directly impact your postseason potential. And that last week of the season, man, we keep pointing at it, but that back-to-back series with the Brewers and the Cubs, that's a gauntlet to finish the year. And the Cardinals are going to need Matt Carpenter to be much closer to the August version of Matt Carpenter than the September version.
See, part of my theory is they tried to do too much with the superstitions, because then they tried to bring back the rally squirrel thing again.
And yeah.
It like counteracted, and so like it just
negative.
You got to focus on one thing.
That's fair.
It's salsa year. You can't be mixing in a rally squirrel or a rally cat or something like that. No, it's salsa year. Yeah. And you start bringing that other stuff in,
it dilutes the magic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, I hear you.
I think the interesting thing is going to be, again, you look at Carpenter's overall numbers, and they're going to look very good this year. But what do you get with Carpenter next year? Are these cold stretch is going to continue to, you know, expand? Or is this kind of a fluke? And is he just kind of run into the wall like everybody else has in this last month or so? I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation to have in the off season, because I think that, you know, especially from the casual fan point of view, you look at him and said he had 35 home runs. He was, because he's going to be in the MVP discussion. He's, you know, probably, you know, top five, maybe in the MVP. You know, obviously he was, you know, he's this guy. He's the guy you can't be, you know, you got to focus at. And I just don't know if Carpenter is the guy that you want to focus around going forward. That's, like I said, that's an off-season conversation, but when you look at how much he has struggled over the last month and you start really looking at it, I mean, you know, that's going to be 2.5 months of the season that have not been very, you know, not been up to Carpenter standards. You know, that's pretty much half the season. Now, the other half was amazing, obviously, but I don't know. I think it's interesting to see that. And obviously, Mike Schilt thinks there's something there, too. He gave Carpenter the day off on Saturday. Apparently, everybody else took the day off Saturday as well, except for Patrick Wisdom. But, you know, so maybe there was something there. Right now, the Cardinals are actually beating up on the Braves. The game has gotten serious. And we will hopefully, they can hopefully hold that lead. It's now at the top of the fifth. 6-2, it looks like. Because of course somebody got out at home, because that's what the Cardinals do. So you like that. You like that start to this run, to go into Atlanta and to win the first game. You hope you gotta make do with the Giants this weekend, and then you're right, run that gauntlet next week. 2 weeks, that's it. That's kind of where did the season go type of stuff. I'm not sure we're all ready for it to end, so maybe they'll extend it out a little bit more. So until next week, which I believe Tara and I will be back on our regular time next week, and we will talk about where they stand before the gauntlet is run. That's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.